Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Look what's taking place right now. The teachers, they're teaching children with a jihadist theme. The Islamic State Library of Zeal has released an application, an app on Android phones to be able to teach their children Arabic alphabet and the vocabulary that's taught. They use jihadist themes to be able to do this. So children are finding out how to actually pronounce particular their language that they use to be able to use these particular themes. And you're seeing some themes right now. As a matter of fact, you're thinking of, they got the word, they got tanks in this children's app. They have guns, to the word for guns, the word for rockets. And you're looking at what's taking place. As we saw with John Guandola, he was the last couple days on VFN TV talking to us specifically about, you know, jihad in America. He was saying the seventh graders all around the world in Islamic schools are taught these very things. It's just the way of that particular, that's a persecuting religion to Christianity. They call it converting to either put into servitude a non-believer, to end the life of a non-believer, or to behead the unbeliever. I mean, that's persecution. But that's what took place. Did you know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, his life ended with his head on a chopping block? Did you know that? That he was beheaded? That Peter was crucified? Just like Jesus was crucified, except he said, I don't want to look like, you know, that have any resemblance of Jesus Christ. Crucify me upside down. That's the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. I'm not saying that's our future. I'm just saying, listen, that's the reality of the gospel that we preach. We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Just like Bobby Connor says, militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
I am so honored to have a special guest on, Pat Hamilton.
Hey,
how are you doing? I think my ears are going to come on in a minute.
Yeah,
I can't
eventually
really hear myself talking. But we're seeing a big rise in Islam and different things taking place, and God has shown me some very specific things, a definite presence of Sharia compliant Muslims. Mm-hmm. I mean, all Muslims aren't Sharia compliant, but Sharia compliant Muslims in America, which means fully dressed in the garb and that type of thing, and it was pretty significant. Mm-hmm. But I know when we're seeing the things that took place with John Guandola, and that's pretty interesting when you think about what God has shown you. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's talking about jihad in America. He's saying that our government has been infiltrated. He's saying the Homeland Security is getting their advice from the Muslim Brotherhood. Congressman Michelle Bachmann saying that the Brotherhood is actually in the advisory capacity. I'm seeing specifically the leadership of our current America cut a covenant with Muslims, you know, Islam, and we're seeing that prevalent, even down to the Democratic National Convention. Remember that when we saw they were taking God out of their platform? Mm-hmm. And thank God for the pastor in Ohio, I think his name was. He's a representative or out of Ohio, but he stood up and said, listen, we want God put Jerusalem, first of all, back into the platform where Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And they booed. He pushed it through, but really they didn't want it.
Right.
So here we are right now. So imagine, you know, if you're in Mosul, like the nun, remember the nun that was testifying before Congress, and we were watching ISIS on and ISIS is basically a Sharia compliant, fully belief in the Quran, operating in some similar principles, according to John Guandola, as a Muslim, the way Muhammad would operate. And that's what John Guandola said, former FBI agent and a specialist in this. And which means a great presence of many factions are coming and rising in America. But one is, imagine if there was just, she said, we were watching him on TV. We were watching Muzzle on TV. And then they were at our door. They were at our door.
Right.
And they came and took our stuff away. They took us out of the Mosul, by the way, is Nineveh. And she's testifying before Congress. She said, you treat your dogs better in America than you're treating the Christians. And now it looks like that very thing may happen mm-hmm. in America in some areas in some point. As a matter of fact, what did the Lord show you specifically in regards mm-hmm. to this kind of presence?
Yeah, exactly. In this night vision, I was in this home, and I was with a couple. We were gathering, and I believe we were having like a church service. And then we hear something at the door. So I go to the door, open the door, and all of a sudden there's this huge, angry mob. And I knew they were Muslims.
Right.
They all had weapons in their hands, and I knew they were just about to do us in. And
something that you're seeing pretty much right now in Iraq, or you're right. seeing in these different places, yes.
Right, right. So, but I didn't hesitate. We just walked right into the crowd, you know, with no weapons. We had no intentions of doing anybody any harm. We just walked right through the crowd, and all of a sudden, I just knew there was just a host of angels all the way around us.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, the crowd just split, almost like the sea, you know, just opened right. up. And then all of a sudden, the crowd just disappeared. They were gone.
I think about the call. If you haven't yet read the call, it's a vision that was given, again, we talked about in the previous program, by Rick Joyner, given to the Lord to Rick Joyner. But one was, everybody stayed in this prison.
Mm-hmm.
The church was staying in this prison because they were fearful. They were terrified to go outside this prison. And they had guards on the walls. The guards were teachers teaching false doctrine, and everybody mm-hmm. was in this dark area or whatever. But then he realized when he started going through this hole in the wall, he had to face all of his greatest fears.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you could imagine, you know, he's facing that. And when he went through that place, and that's the place we all have to go through to be able to minister to people who come from the place that we come from. When he got through it on the other side, he goes, I can't believe all these years I made such a big deal about it. I mean, everything. And the thing about it is God's waiting to see if we trust him. Do we love him? Do we trust him enough with our lives? And everything in your mind would say, if I walk in this crowd right now that's, you know, radical jihadists that are saying, you know, that we're following Muhammad, and Muhammad says either convert or die or go into servitude, and you're watching people be crucified and beheaded, and these different things are going on, Sharia compliant. That's a difficult crowd to face.
Exactly.
But look what happened. God says he puts angels ministering. Every believer has ministering angel to serve the Lord in your life. So you think about that. So you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have faith. And the Lord says in Psalms 23 that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You got one angel called goodness mm-hmm. and one called mercy. He says he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. And that's what it's like. It's like
mm-hmm.
I'm walking out of a place where the church is gathering, like a house. All these folks that are against, you know, Christians and against you, you know, are out there. But all of a sudden, the Lord just prepares a table for you right there in the presence of them. Mm-hmm. These angels just kind of press them. I'm telling you what, you know, we got to understand our Lord. Our Lord loves you. He's got a plan for your life. But he also cares about that individual that's just protesting outside your door. They really believe somebody who is serving a God who basically is no God at all, but they're saying that the closest I can get, according to John Guandola, is if I got enough good deeds, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and this is what John Guandola is saying about Islam,
mm-hmm.
then I make it into the paradise. That's what they believe. But if they die in the name of jihad, fighting holy war, in other words, trying to take your life or someone else's life, that's an instant ticket to paradise, their heaven, and they get to take 70 of their members of their family, according to John Guandola. I mean, he really believes that. The thing about it is, what are we doing to help him believe that you don't have to lay down your life for God? God's laid down his life for you.
That's right.
I mean, if he's willing to do all that for a God who doesn't exist, but may give him paradise, may forgive his, may. I mean, think about that. When we have a God who gave his son to die for the sins of the world, that he told us that we cannot do this outside of him. He says, you have to bear fruit, but you can't bear fruit outside of abiding in me. But he wants a relationship with you. God, this is a big paradigm shift for somebody who's committed to Islam and committed to Sharia, and there is all these laws, and they have like the Sharia police. There's going like, your dress is too high, your veil is too low, you can't do this, you can't do that. Your pants, your ankles need to be showing, your beard needs to be red. You can't wear gold, you can't wear silver. What all the time? It's And Jesus said very specifically, and Paul is talking about it too. He says, "Who has bewitched you that what was began in grace that now you're trying to achieve it by the works of the law?" Mm-hmm. So it's not just Islam. Anytime we go and try to earn our salvation with God, we're trying to get right by our own works. All of our righteousness is a filthy rags, which means this, that have you even told this man or woman that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life? Did you ever pray that God would actually send, give them a vision or a dream, an encounter? And this is happening in North Africa right now, in Morocco and other areas. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are committed Muslims or not committed Muslim, but, you know, openly saying they were Muslims, they're having dreams and God is showing himself. And as soon as they see him and how they just want an authentic relationship with God, and somebody's convinced them that Muhammad was the way to God. But this is not the way to God. The way to God is through his son, Jesus Christ. I think about Kamal Saleem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a radical jihadist. He was coming to America to basically take his inheritance, right?
That's right, yeah.
I mean, he was going to commit jihad on America. And if you, you know, America, he saw America as his inheritance. And right now you're seeing people who believe, you know, they're Sharia compliant and they believe the writings of Muhammad. And they believe that America and all nations that does not submit to their religion is their inheritance. And that he came to do that. But you know what? He got in a car accident. He got in a car accident. And people weren't scared of him. They loved him. When he was in the hospital, the doctors and the nurses just loved on him.
That's right.
And took care of him. We're talking about, you know, a radical jihadist who was coming to America to get his inheritance. Mm-hmm. And that was his mindset. That's what he was taught. And you got to read his book. What is the book that he wrote with General Boykin, the book they wrote together? You find that out.
Coalition.
Coalition. It's very powerful because it tells General Boykin's testimony in his life. It shares Kamal Saleem's testimony as a
radical jihadist.
Well, actually, he's a young boy, mm-hmm. and how he gets into jihad, and watch how the general converges with the jihadist, and mm-hmm. how, you know, things change like that. But understand, he was coming. This is just like somebody you may see that this is what they believe. They believe that they're going to come to a nation, to America, whoever. And they're going to take it as their inheritance. They're going to tell you about Islam. If you don't convert, they're going to try to convert you. If you don't convert, they're going to put you into servitude. If you don't servitude, then they're going to end your life.
Mm-hmm.
In so many words. But take a look. This is what the love of God can do. This is Kamal Saleem, a radical jihadist, who in that night vision that Pat was telling you about, there was outside that door, the angels about him just parted them aside. But understand, you can win them to the Lord by sharing them, by your own actions, the love of God. Take a look.
48% of the Muslim in the United States of America believe that they are Muslim first, they are American second. Our purpose is to change this culture because they're infidel and what they're doing is not pleasing to Allah, and we are the soldier of Allah who will make them do it.
Kamal Saleem was born in Lebanon to a devout Muslim family. As early as 4 years old, he remembers sitting at the kitchen table while his mother taught him about the Quran and his duty to Allah and jihad.
From my childhood, my mom said, "One day you'll be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam." She said, "If you kill a Jew, my son, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah and the host of heaven will celebrate what you have done."
Kamal was 7 when his parents sent him to Muslim training camps to learn to use weapons and engage and kill the enemy. The boys were also taught another, more subtle form of warfare.
We were training for what's called culture jihad, which is shifting cultures. Culture jihad is, it's unlike the sword, unlike the rifle, it is the jihad that will come into your world.
By his 20s, Kamal was chosen to wage cultural jihad on America.
In Islam, liberty, freedom, monarchy, all these are idols and these must be brought down. So the liberty that you have in the United States of America, it's anti-Islam, you know, so America must be changed. So I moved to the Bible Belt specifically. The Bible Belt was the strongest of strongest. That's where the stout Christians are. And I want to take on the best of the best because I considered myself as a sword of Islam. I thought I'm anointed, I'm unique, I'm selected. I'm coming to a country and a culture to change it, and I have the power of Allah with me.
In the early 1980s, Kamal entrenched himself in a small Midwestern town. He began targeting men from poor neighborhoods to recruit them to the Muslim faith. But one afternoon, his life would be in the hands of those he hated the most.
I was going from one place to another to do a recruitment, and that day I had a car wreck. The car wreck was so severe, I ejected out of my car, landed on my neck, broke my neck in two places. This man came running to me, and he said, "Don't worry, we're gonna take care of you, and everything's gonna be all right." The ambulance came and picked me up, and now I go to the hospital. The orthopedic surgeon in the emergency room looked at my chart, and he just said, "Son, we are going to take care of you, and everything's gonna be all right." The second day I wake up in the hospital, and this head of physical therapy come and read my chart. And he turned around and he said the same thing, word for word, "We are going to take care of you."
At first, Kamal was frightened by their words because these men were all Christians.
You see, in terrorism, if they said, "We're gonna take care of you," you'd better run.
Surgeries to repair Kamal's broken neck were successful, but recovery would take weeks. After being discharged from the hospital, he would need someone to care for him while he recuperated. Kamal had no one. So the orthopedic surgeon opened up his own home to this stranger.
In his home, they put me in the choicest room, in the most beautiful thing. I became like part of their family. They didn't see me any different. And now they have a basket set for Kamal. They put in money to free my bills from the hospital.
Kamal was overwhelmed with the outpouring of Christian love. As he recovered, he began to help out around the house with cooking and cleaning.
They have Jewish friends, they came from Israel, that they support, you know. And now I'm hugging Israelis and I'm cooking for Jews. I'm going, what has happened to me?
When Kamal was able to take care of himself and return to his apartment, the doctor had another surprise for him.
He said, "This is the keys to the house, and here's an extra key. This is your new car. We just want to bless you. You can come anytime you want." So I go to my home, and I go to my cold place that I have been there in months, and dust is this thick. And I just gotta settle this issue with my God to know that if it's real or not. So I walk inside, I shut the door, I go right in the eastern window, and I fall on my knees, and I put my hands to the heavens, and I cry up to my God. "Allah, Allah, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm okay with the car wreck. I'm okay with all this, but why did you put me among Christians? I'm confused. These Christians and Jews, they're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't want to kill us. They're not the same thing that I learned about them. Allah, these people have relationship with their God. These people, they cry out to the God and they answer them. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you love me. If you're real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice." Guess what Allah said that day? Absolutely nothing.
Kamal felt that because he questioned his faith, the honorable thing to do was to end his own life.
So I went to reach out my guns and put it in the right place and clock out. I heard the voice. The voice knew me by name. He said, "Kamal, Kamal, Kamal, why don't you call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob?" And now I fell on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens immediately as I heard the voice, and I cried out with every fiber within me, "God of Father Abraham, if you are real, would you speak to me? God of Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you." Well, God of Father Abraham came to the room, and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh. The Lord is one. In his hand, he has holes in his hand. He has holes in his feet. His name is Jesus. I said to him, "Who are you, my Lord? Who are you?" He said, "I am that I am." I said, "I'm a simple man with a simple mind. What is that supposed to mean?" He said, "I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everything that is in between. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Rise up. Rise up, come on. Kum. You are my warrior. You are not their warrior. And I said to him, I said, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me. I died for you that you may live.
That day, instead of taking his life, Kamal gave it to Jesus. He now has a new mission and travels the country challenging Muslims to question their allegiance to Allah.
My heart desire is to reach out for my brothers and sisters, the Muslim out there, 1.5 billion Muslim, that they are living out there and they have not tasted freedom and that freedom in God.
It's been over 20 years since Kamal left the Islamic faith, and even threats of violence and death cannot stop him from sharing his story.
He is real, you know, and if you never experienced God before in your life, if you never tasted God, and if you think you got nothing to lose, when you're sitting in your home, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a non-Christian or whatever you are, say, call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and say, if you are real, speak to me, I want to hear your voice.
This is so powerful because he was coming as a warrior for Islam.
Yeah.
Totally convinced. If you read Coalition, the book, you can, it's a powerful book. I encourage you to get it. We'll make it related in this particular program. Go to vfntv.com to find out more about it. But in the book, you know, Jesus walked as we walked, was tempted as we're tempted, yet without sin, so he can empathize with who we are, our frailties. And we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize or sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, the throne of undeserved favor with boldness. And God told this warrior of jihad, I've known you since you were a child. Let me tell you about his childhood briefly. He was raised up in a very oppressive home in the Middle East. He was neglected. His mother was told she had a brain that was only half the size of his father's, of men's. His father was convinced him that he was going to go to paradise and he was going to have 70 virgins. He told his father one time when he was a young boy, he says, if you get 70 virgins, what does mama get if she dies? And I believe he struck him. And he was and gangs were kind of threatening his life and these different things. And all of a sudden, there was this jihadist Sharia group in his community that took him in and said, we'll take care of you. His family rejected him. Society rejected him. And all of a sudden, Islam accepted him. And they raised him up, and they were there for him. The same way that we saw in an earlier program with the gangs that are going on, they're saying, listen, they were there for me. And they begin to train him up in this belief system that says, you know, jihad is the way. And he becomes a warrior. He becomes a jihadist for Islam to advance Islam. This is the story told 1,000 times. This is 1,000 times. I mean, what opportunities do you have as a child? I mean, you don't pick your parents. You get raised up in the household that your parents choose to be in, and the community and the relationships that they choose to be in. And at some point, you got to make up your own mind who's God. Mm-hmm. And you don't know until people have been presented the opportunity. He came to America to commit jihad, which if you're a Muslim, that's not a negative thing in their mind. They think this is just part of advancing the faith. This is what you're supposed to do. It's part of what you would call worship. You know, jihad for a committed Muslim would be worship. So when you think about that, he was coming with the wrong perception of God. But when he came and he went to the poorest neighborhoods, this is so important. How many churches are built in the suburbs, and how many people say, I don't want that person in my community. I don't want that person in my home. I don't want these guys coming over the borders. And it's all about staying away from folks. When the enemy goes right to the poorest folks. And when Kamal came, he went to the poorest people in the community. And he began to make converts there. Of all the things, when Paul went to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles there to run his doctrine by them to make sure that he wasn't teaching in vain, because God revealed these things to him personally. He found out that he heard clearly and that was right, but they did say this. They said, don't forget the poor. Remember the poor. It's not just so the poor can have some food because they don't have food. That's just a given. It's the very fact, minister to the poor. There's a reason why that is the way it is. Go to them and let them know about the love of God, the love of Christ. If they'll come out of that to be able to be involved, if the enemy goes there to convert, you know, people in poverty to gangs, if they can convince somebody for that kind of life that they'll lay down their life and go serve time in prison because these brothers, these sisters care about me. I mean, you think about that. If the Nation of Islam with Farrakhan goes into the prison system, goes right into the prison system and makes converts in the prison system of people who are, seem to be at their dead-end road, and they say, you're there for me, there's nothing more, I'm telling you. When you have nobody there for your entire life and somebody shows up and says, listen, I'm here for you, that's going to be a hard one to overcome when there's an unloving church in your community mm-hmm. who's never reached out to you, that never helped to meet a need, never got involved in the community, never made that effort. But think about it. If Islam can do that, if gangs can do that, if the Nation of Islam can do that, think about what you can do as the church. If you begin to direct your attention to the poorest, the people who need help, who are hungry for purpose, they don't understand what's going on, and begin to share with them the love of God, the kingdom of God. What happened to Kamal Saleem? They didn't go yell at him or criticize him. They revealed the love of God to him, and it confused him because he was told all these lies about Christians. And when he met them and met a true Christian that was loving on him, mending him, helping him meet his needs, he was so confused because love confronted all the lies. Mm-hmm. Love confronted all the lies. That's what we have to do, is begin to confront all the lies with love. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. so understood this when he said, listen, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And if you look at his life, this is an amazing man. He's a Christian, and he also was an American. He stayed under God's law, and he stayed under the constitutional law. So that's why we can look at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and say, you know what? They were choking him out. They were attacking him. They were the FBI was, or the CIA was all over his stuff. But he knew the only way he could win is through love. If you have not yet joined VFN Kingdom Business, now is your time. There's a way to be a civil Christian in a civil land. It's time for us to be activated and go out and begin to really make disciples of nations. I mean, you can see the address, VFNKB, on the screen. But listen, it's time for us to go as Islam went, you know, as the Nation of Islam went with Farrakhan, as gangs are going. It's time for us to also go and say, let me tell you about the true God. And Kamal Saleem was so confronted that he went back. He says, I'm confused. I'm a simple man. I don't understand. And he prayed to you know, Allah, and he said no answers were given. But then he prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God answered. And you know what he said? He said, I loved you all along. He loved him when he was in that parental situation that was abusive. He loved him when he was being taken in by that Sharia-compliant jihadist Islamic organization. He loved him. He loved him when he got on the transportation to come to America to be able to do harm to Americans, thinking he was actually serving God. Jesus said, this people are going to kill you thinking that they're doing God a favor. I mean, he said, those days coming. But when he encountered the love of God, it was the dysfunctional home didn't change him. The gangs in the community didn't change him. Poverty didn't change him. The radical jihadist Islamic Sharia complied organization didn't change him. The travel to America didn't change him. Going to the poorest areas in America to convert didn't change him. But you know what changed him? Was the love of God. It was loving on him. Think about it. Just loving on him. Love is patient. Love is kind. Long-suffering. Gentle. Keeps no records of wrongs. I mean, Paul was a radical, I mean, his name was Saul first, but he was radical persecutor of the church. He was giving permission to stone Stephen. He stood there holding their coats while they took rocks, and they stoned him. He was going to persecute the church in Damascus when he met, just like Kamal Saleem, he met Yeshua, the Messiah. He met Jesus Christ, the same thing. All he needed to know was who really is God. Who is God? And maybe that's you. Could you love a Kamal Saleem? Let me tell you something. He's the most beautiful person you ever want to meet. I'm talking about physically. I mean, I guess he's not a bad-looking guy or whatever. But I'm talking about if you talk to him, the love of God just pours off of him. I mean, Pat can tell you. Pat and I had a chance to be with him in, I guess, maybe South Carolina, North Carolina. And he just glows with the presence and the love of God. And just as a bold warrior he was for radical Islam and being a jihadist, guess what? He's bold for the love of God and letting people know. And he understands this cultural war is a seven-mountain war, trying to change the seven spheres of culture. And we talk about that, and we're focusing on that in the seven-mountain strategy with VFN Kingdom Business. You got to go to vfnkb.org and sign that pledge of saying, you know, I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference. We actually serve the true God, whose kingdom is greater than the kingdoms of this world, who's given us all authority. When we go in his name, he goes with us. What a awesome five-part series. If you missed the first four parts of this, understanding
get it.
John Guandola, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he talked about, former FBI agent, and he just let us know that, hey, this thing's on the increase. God confirmed it with a night vision, given that to Pat Hamilton, which he shared it on this program. Mm-hmm. It was so good to have Pat on the program, you know? And he's just so wise, and to be able to hear the things he has to share, and just so deep.
Yes. Always plenty to say.
It's a great encouragement. And so we're finding out, as a witness of a former jihadist, how we need to approach this thing.
Who better to tell us how to respond and what to do?
If you haven't went to Coombs Ministries, you can see it on your screen. You need to go to Coombs Ministries and just give a shout out to Kamal Saleem. He's a beautiful person, him and his wife. And he would even come to your church and begin to share. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, are you brave enough to bring a former radical jihadist who loves Jesus to your church to be able to say, you know what, this is what we need to do, is you need to love them and inform them. And, you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You can imagine what somebody who doesn't yet know God, how they're being taken advantage of and being fed, you know, false information. I want to encourage you right now. Maybe you are a radical jihadist. Maybe you are somebody that's committed to jihad, not radical, but you're committed to jihad. Maybe you're a Muslim. Maybe you have a friend at your workplace that's a Muslim. Maybe you just pass somebody in with a hijab that's in the grocery store. And what came out of you was judgment, criticism, and avoidance instead of, I need to reach out and touch the person, because behind that hijab, behind that outfit is Kamal Saleem, a human being that God loves and God has a plan for their life. I mean, think about it. How different is it going to be when you approach your life from this perspective? While Stephen was being stoned, he saw the face of God and he was smiling, and it convicted even Saul when Saul was standing there. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe that's you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make Jesus Christ. Listen, ask him to show himself to you. He will show himself to you. This is a true God. He's powerful. That's what happened with Kamal Saleem, and God will do that for you. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.